And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. The American Civil Liberties Union, or ACLU, of Alaska is suing the Alaska Department of Corrections for its role in the 2023 death of Lewis Jordan Jr. Jordan was incarcerated at Goose Creek Correctional Center in Wasilla, where he developed bacterial meningitis, which led to his coma and death. The ACLU is suing on behalf of Jordan's family. Megan Barker is Communications Director for the ACLU of Alaska. Barker says Jordan's death is a sign that the department still doesn't have high enough standards of care. She says she hopes the state legislator will take a deeper look at deaths of incarcerated Alaskans.
The Department of Corrections receives an incredible portion of the state's budget and has not been held accountable for the fact that it is failing to keep people safe and alive while they are in the Department of Corrections custody.
The Department of Corrections did not respond to a request for comment in time for the story, but the department's health director, Travis Welch, presented data on prison deaths to the House State Affairs Committee last week. He said the incarcerated population in Alaska has especially complex health needs.
65% of those in our care and custody are living with a mental illness. Of that, 22% of our population is experiencing a severe and persistent mental illness, such as schizophrenia or other. 80% are living with a substance use disorder. People in our care and custody are twice as likely as the greater Alaskan population to have high blood pressure.
DOC leaders say death by suicide inside prisons have decreased by almost a third over the past decade, and that while overdose deaths rates rose in Alaska in 2023, few incarcerated Alaskans died of overdose in that time. The Department of Corrections announced that another inmate, Reginald Eugene Childers Jr., died in state custody last week. Childers was 42 and had been incarcerated for about 2 months. He was still awaiting trial. The University of Alaska Southeast is taking steps to remove mentions of DEI from its website. In an email to university staff and faculty on Friday, UAS Chancellor Aparna Palmer wrote that the university is updating web pages that mention diversity, equity, inclusion, and other related terms. This comes after a motion from the university's Board of Regents directing leadership to comply with recent executive orders from President Trump. As of Friday, the campus found more than 160 instances of those terms that need to be reviewed. Palmer says the university system is taking these actions to protect federal funding the university receives. That money supports more than half of UAS students. In an interview with KTOO on Monday, Palmer said the university will continue to be a welcoming place to all.
I don't know exactly where things will go or how they will evolve. What I can control is that I am dedicated to the students of this university and I'm dedicated to the employees. And so I will work really hard to make sure that people feel accepted, a sense of belonging, and safe.
Palmer wrote that the university will create a committee made up of staff and faculty who will recommend if a term needs to be removed or changed. But the campus has already taken several actions without a review committee. It temporarily took down a webpage for the Chancellor's Advisory Committee on Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Cultural Safety out of, quote, high visibility concerns. Administration also changed the name of the Office of Equity and Compliance to the Office of Rights, Compliance, and Accountability. Palmer says staff and faculty still have free speech and academic freedom protections and may use DEI and related words as long as they aren't speaking on behalf of the university. And Alaska's National Weather Service offices have not been spared from the Trump administration's efforts to slash the federal workforce. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, the already understaffed agency's workforce has been cut back significantly, and lawmakers are raising concerns.
According to a source affiliated with the Union for National Weather Service Employees, resignations and firings have resulted in the loss of at least 23 Weather Service employees across Alaska. The person requested anonymity because they were not authorized to speak publicly. Rick Toman, a climatologist who spent 30 years with the National Weather Service, says the job cuts are already impacting forecasts. Last month, officials with the agency announced they would indefinitely suspend weather balloon launches from Kotzebue. Toman says weather balloon stations in Nome and Bethel also saw outages in recent days, though they've since come back online.
That is going to impact every single weather model run in the world.
Toman says forecasting is a complex science, and the three-dimensional view of the atmosphere that weather balloons provide is unique.
That's the primary use of those upper air observations. So not just the weather models run in the U.S., weather models run in Canada, weather models run in Europe, weather models run in South Africa, because all effectively all these are all global models.
Roughly 800 people were fired across the Weather Service's parent agency, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. That's according to a report from the publication Axios last month. And that includes at least 10 of the nearly two dozen lost Weather Service employees in Alaska, according to the union source. Others resigned after receiving the so-called fork in the road email from the Office of Personnel Management, offering federal workers what amounts to a buyout. The source says the firings and resignations include meteorologists, IT and electronics staff, administrative assistants, and more. Altogether, the Weather Service Alaska region has lost 10% of its staff, according to data from the Office of Personnel Management. And taken together with positions that were already unfilled, it adds up to a roughly 30% vacancy rate across the state's Weather Service offices. And that has decimated morale, according to the union source. They say meteorologists don't just check their work at the door. It's not just their job, it's their passion, it's their hobby. And they say it's getting harder and harder for employees to focus on the mission while they're worried about getting an email that might give them an hour to collect their things and head out the door. Toman, the climatologist, says he expects the effects of the cutbacks to compound as time goes on.
You're going to have fewer people working more. It's going to be, you're going to have burnout. You're going to have stuff be missed.
And with fewer people maintaining the dozens of automated weather stations across the state, Toman says he expects data outages like the weather balloon stations in western Alaska to happen more often and last longer. Political leaders across the state are raising concerns about the Weather Service cutbacks. Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski said in a statement that Alaskans from fishermen to firefighters lean heavily on accurate weather forecasts. She says the cuts will have real consequences for Alaskans. Independent State House Representative Elise Galvin of Anchorage, who's been tracking federal firings, says she's concerned about the impact on public safety, especially in light of a recent avalanche that killed three people in Girdwood.
We do not even appreciate how important these scientists are to us until some tragedy happens. Let's not get there.
Republican Congressman Nick Begich also expressed concern in a statement, but he said the staff reductions highlighted the need to leverage, quote, third-party data. A variety of companies offer private weather forecasting services, but Toman, the climatologist, says few companies are willing to take on the considerable cost of maintaining launch sites across the country and around the world.
I don't even know if it's possible, but if it would be possible, you would be paying an immense amount of money for that, just for what the Weather Service does now at a, per capita, a minimal cost for the U.S. taxpayer.
He says the business model just doesn't make sense. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
And members of Juneau's LGBTQ plus community and the people who support them gathered in droves on Sunday to protest the Trump administration's policies and language surrounding queer and trans people. The day was also meant to be joyful, so Juneau's youth know that they belong, no matter their identity. Over 200 people are gathered in the rain at the Alaska State Capitol to show their support for Juneau's LGBTQ community, with pride flags draped over their shoulders and signs that say things like, gender-affirming care is life-saving. Organizer Josh Ginny Mary Cruz says this is to show Juneau's young people that their voices matter and that they matter.
That's the way we all need to be with our children. We need to teach them it is okay to speak up against injustice.
Cruz says living as an out queer person, teaching Tlingit and raising her kids to be accepting has felt like her way to support her community. But recently, that's changed.
That's not enough anymore. And it's at this point where I feel like we have to stand up and we have to fight. We are going to have to fight hard, just like our ancestors who came before us.
She's talking about policies and rhetoric pushed by President Donald Trump that endanger LGBTQ people across the country. Within 10 days of his return to the White House, Trump banned gender-affirming health care for youth against recommendations by the American Academy of Pediatrics. The administration's moves have left queer and trans people in fear. But as the demonstrators prepare to march through downtown to Elizabeth Paradovich Hall, Cruz says she wants this event to be fun, too, to shine a light on the people who celebrate and defend those whose rights are under attack.
And I just want to bring joy just some of the darkest days of our lives right now.
And Sa'ach Margaret Katzik, who works in mental health support, says coming together in times like this is necessary.
We heal in community. This is where the healing comes from, showing up for each other.
Wendy Siebold is marching with her partner and her daughter. She says they especially wanted to show up for Juneau's transgender community, which she says is being directly targeted by Trump's policies.
I feel like Juneau as a whole understands the importance for protections for everyone.
The march through downtown is followed by drag performances. The demonstrators wind into Elizabeth Paradovich Hall, where booths of resources and pride flags await them. Kids like Celia Havenmar wait in line to have their faces painted with glitter.
We're all people, and like if we're different, like it's not a big thing to be different. It's not a big, and this is an event to show people that it's normal to be you and it's normal to be gay and stuff.
On the other side of the line of booths is Elizabeth Judici. They're there with the Southeast Alaska LGBTQ Alliance, or SIGLA. They say that anti-trans and anti-queer policy proposals aren't new, but the political climate feels different now.
Now that that things are sort of in the forefront, people are afraid because it seems like things are actually actionable.
But they say events like this one show that Juno's queer community won't go into hiding.
When we get together, we see just how far we've come, just how close we can all be and how out and how proud we can all be. And know that we don't have to be as afraid as we have been. And that's progress.
A mostly youth dance group called Hasati, Hasdu Itich Ha'ak Kedich Hasati, takes to the stage to perform songs, including one that organizer Dash Jenny Mary Cruz wrote for this event. Tlingit drag performer Latuya Hart Monroe joined dancers in an ermine pelt headdress, holding a pride flag. The song is called Kusahan Kusahanch Sati. Love is love. In some of the words translate to, through love, we will succeed. We have existed forever. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cremery. And as for the weather here in Juneau this afternoon, it's 38 degrees and raining. Tonight, we may get some snow overnight with a low of 32 degrees, and tomorrow, we may get more snow. The high tomorrow is 37, and the low tomorrow night is 24 degrees. The rest of the week looks cold and clear, with temperatures between the teens and about freezing. You're listening to KTOO.